A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man, and he had a steward denounced to him for being wasteful with his property. He called for the man and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Draw me up an account of your stewardship, because you are not to be my steward any longer.' Then the steward said to himself, 'Now that my master is taking the stewardship from me, what am I to do? Dig? I am not strong enough. Go begging? I should be too ashamed. I know what I will do to make sure that when I am dismissed from office, there will be some to welcome me into their homes.' Then he called his master's debtors, one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' 100 measures of oil, was the reply. The steward said, 'Here, take your bond. Sit down straight away and write 50. To another, he said, "And you, sir, how much do you owe?" 100 measures of wheat, was the reply. The steward said, "Here, take your bond and write 80. The master praised the dishonest steward for his astuteness. For the children of this world are more astute in dealing with their own kind than are the children of light." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus knew how to tread on toes. Most of us will agree that the end doesn't justify the means. It's a moral principle. You can't do wrong, even if it may seem to have a good effect. Martin Luther, the 500th anniversary of Luther has just occurred, knew that, and so opposed the church selling indulgences to build St. Peter's Basilica, the evil that brought about Reformation. But in today's gospel, we have a servant about to lose his job for not making enough money for his master, doing deals so that when he got the sack, he would have friends to support him. Jesus seemed to be praising that behavior when he said at the end of parable, "Make friends with the mammon of iniquity." How can we ever justify Jesus today? The concluding passage, not in the reading, says, "Use money, tainted as it is, to win friends, so that when it fails, they will welcome you into heaven." Maybe we have to look at the principle and realize that some rules are made to be broken. I have bribed kids to go to Mass by putting on a good spread at the end, or saying we need a drummer or a guitarist to get them involved. We all know about white lies. We know morphine accelerates death, but we cannot see cancer patients suffering dreadfully. moral theologians talk about proportionate good, something that will always cause an argument. Mothers, needing 10 minutes for themselves, know they can sit the children in front of the TV or give them a candy or something to eat. Neither of those are particularly good for the children. I know I have succumbed to a car salesman who says, "I'll do a deal with you, Father. I know it's for the church." I was recently with a friend, Martin, who had to put his son Patrick to bed. He had just come back when Patrick returned saying he wanted his light on. After a minute of arguing, Martin went and turned on the light. He returned saying to us, "Patrick won, Martin zero." There are some battles you just can't win. Maybe that servant wasn't proposing to do something terribly wrong. He knew his boss was making exorbitant profits. Whatever it was all about, there is a wisdom in weighing up the effects of our actions. There are some battles we can't win. But I have to say, Luther was right.